So Gargamuni comes, and Nanda says, "Oh, you are the priest of the Yadu dynasty. So I want you to perform the name-giving ceremonies of Krishna and Balaram." So he says, "But I want to do it secretly because of Kamsa. I don't want to be a big news that Kamsa may come. So I want to do it privately." So they do it in the cowshed, very privately. And Gargamuni tells Nanda, "Oh, this boy Balaram, who is the son of Rohini, he will be all powerful. Balaram. He will have tremendous power, Baladev. And because he unites two families, he will be known as Sankarshan." Everybody say. And then he talks about Krishna. He says, Oh, this child. Practically speaking, this child is as good as Narayan. Everybody say. So Nanda is hearing this and he's going, "Wow. This son of mine, but Nanda Maharaj, he's like, "Yeah, Gargamuni is saying all this. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, who knows? Whatever." But at least Gargamuni has spoken in such a way that he's sort of mentioned that actually this child, Krishna, is actually Vasudev's child. But he doesn't say it directly. He says it in very obtuse way. But he definitely tells them, "This child, anyone attached to this child will be protected. And this child will be as good as Narayan." Then Krishna and Balaram, they're starting to grow up. And as boys are apt to do, they do nonsense. Young boys, they do nonsense. Not young girls. Young boys do not. Girls do nonsense once they become teenagers. But boys do nonsense when they're very young. So Krishna and Balaram, they're acting like young boys. So they go to the neighbors and they steal butter and yogurt. If the babies are sleeping, they pinch the babies to make them wake up and cry. And sometimes in other people's homes, they pass stool and urine on the floor. So they're causing all kinds of disturbance. So the mothers, they go to Nanda and Yashoda and say, "You know, your son, you know, he's doing all these activities." But actually, they didn't mind. Because in this place of Vrindavan, everybody in this Vrindavan has one characteristic. They love Krishna. No matter what he does, they love him. That's what it means to be a resident of this wonderful place, Vrindavan. You have only one thing. We don't know who Krishna is. We don't care whether Krishna is God or not. We don't care. All we know is that we love this Krishna. So although they would come and complain, actually all they wanted to do was an excuse to see Krishna and Balaram. Because when they would complain, Yashoda would say, "Boys, come here. These are people are accusing you." And of course they would say, "We didn't do nothing wrong. What are you talking? We're good boys." So the neighbors, they just wanted to see Krishna. Then comes Diwali Day. And on Diwali Day, Yashoda, she's thinking, "Why is my Krishna going to other people's homes, stealing their butter and yogurt? Maybe he doesn't like the food he's getting at home. Alright, today on this Diwali Day, I am going to make such delicious butter and yogurt that Krishna won't go outside. Now, Yashoda had special cows because she's the queen of Vrindavan. So she should have for herself special cows. And these cows would eat very select types of grass. And this types of grass would flavor the milk. So it was those cows, that milk, that on this day Yashoda is churning. And while she's churning, she's singing Krishna's different activities that he has performed so well all this time. So Yashoda is happy. Krishna is taking rest and she's churning. She's happy to be churning. Krishna wakes up and he comes to his mother and stops her and indicates, stop your churning, feed me your breast milk. So Mother Yashoda is a good mother. She stops the churning, puts the child on her lap, and starts to feed the milk of her breast. And she's looking at, because mothers do that, right? When they're breastfeeding, you look at your child, and your child looks so beautiful. Am I right? Yes. She used to do that with our daughter. Look at the beautiful face of little baby. So she's looking at Krishna and she's thinking, what a beautiful child I have. All of a sudden, she hears the milk on the stove is overboiling. Anyone who's worked in the kitchen, what's it like to clean a stove where the milk has overflowed? That's a lot of work. So Yashoda, I gotta take care of the milk on the stove. So she puts Krishna down, but Krishna's not finished drinking. So Krishna's angry. What? I'm not finished. So Krishna gets angry. But he takes a rock and throws it at the butter pot and it breaks and out comes the butter. Then he steps in it. Then he runs away. After Yashoda is finished with the milk on the stove, she comes back. What is this? He has broken the pot. And then she looks. She can see his footprints. Because on the bottom of Krishna's feet are specific markings. As I said all the time, if anyone claims to be God, look at their feet. If their feet look like this, they're not God. Those feet have to have those specific markings. Otherwise, they're not God, they're dog. Anyone who claims to be God, who's bluffing, he's a rascal. He's a dog, not God. God, dog, same word, backwards. So look at the feet. So, Yashoda starts to trace out Krishna's footsteps. And she turns the corner, and there is Krishna. He's standing on this wooden grinding mortar. And he's reaching up because they used to keep the butter and yogurt in these big rafters on the ceiling. And what's Krishna doing? He's giving the butter and yogurt to his friends, the monkeys. Anyone who's been in Delhi, Vrindavan, there's no dearth of monkeys. They're all over. They'll take your cell phone, they'll take your watch, they'll take your chanting beads, they'll take anything that's not tied down. So while Krishna is feeding the monkeys, he's looking this way, he's looking that, because he knows he's done nonsense. He knows that his mother's going to come at any moment. And Yashoda has come with a stick. And she's angry. So when Krishna sees her, he goes, ah! And he jumps down from the grinding mortar and starts to run. He doesn't want to get the stick. Anybody gotten the stick? Yes. I got it in Catholic school. Sister Mary Virgin. I got the stick once. Ooh. So Krishna does not want the stick, so he's running it. And Yashoda, she's a full-bodied woman. Big hips, breasts, you know, she's not a, you know, athlete. She's a cowherd woman. So it's a little difficult, and Krishna is running very fast this way and that way. Finally, she captures him. And Krishna is shaking. And he's got tears in his eyes. And he's looking at his mother, and he's trembling. Krishna wears a pearl necklace. So the pearl necklace is also shaking because he's breathing. And he's shaking. Yashoda, she looks at her child and throws the stick away. Why? Because Yashoda is a good mother. She goes, "Nah, the stick. This offense does not warrant the stick. Besides, if I use the stick, it may have a psychological impact on him and he'll grow up to be strange." So she throws the stick away, but she says, "But this child is so restless. This child is so naughty. How can I do my housework?" So she reasons, I'll tie him up. I'll tie him up to the grinding mortar so that he can't go and do nonsense and I can go back doing my housework. So she gets some rope and she starts to tie up Krishna. But when she tries to make the final knot, it's two fingers too short. So she calls the servant, come, bring more rope. The servant comes and brings more rope. She's going to turn, make the final knot again. It's 2 inches too short. What's going on here? They bring more rope. They bring more rope. All the rope in the house. But no matter how much rope, the final knot, 2 fingers too short. By this time, all the neighbors from the village have come and they're like, they're all smiling and laughing. And Yashoda just goes, "Ugh, what am I going to do?" By this time, the garland she was wearing has fallen from her hair. She's perspiring. She doesn't know what. She's exhausted. So Krishna looks at her and says, not tells her, but by his expression, he's saying, "You see, what am I trying to tell you?" The idea was, Yashoda, Krishna was trying to teach Yashoda, don't think you can tie me up with rope. Because she doesn't know it, but still, Krishna is the absolute truth. One of his names is Ananta. Everybody say. So, how can you tie up the unlimited? It's not possible. You cannot tie up the unlimited. So Krishna was teaching her her lesson. You cannot capture me with rope. But because Yashoda loves Krishna and she became exhausted trying to tie him up, Krishna agreed to allow himself to be tied. So when she was totally exhausted, then she was able to make the final knot. Krishna was teaching us also that if you want to capture him, if you want to tie him, there's only one thing. It's called bhakti badham. Everybody say. Krishna is all powerful. So your powers cannot tie up Krishna. Your wealth, your strength, your knowledge, your beauty, your fame, your renunciation, none of these things can capture Krishna. Only one thing, bhakti, the ropes of love, which Yashoda has. Yashoda is one of the most confidential servants and lovers of Krishna. Nobody can take Yashoda's position. She's eternally Krishna's mother. It's not that, okay, Yashoda, it's my turn now. No. Yashoda is eternally Yashoda. You can be a Lord Brahma. Okay. You can be a Lord Indra. You can be any demigod. You cannot become Mother Yashoda. You can become Yashoda's servant. That's good. But Yashoda's position, no applications being accepted. So Yashoda now, Krishna's allowing himself to be tied up. But after he's tied up, Yashoda goes to do her housework. Krishna says, my mother thinks that now I won't do any nonsense. Ha, 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 ha. I'm going to do more nonsense. Just watch. So Krishna looks out into the courtyard and he sees two trees. And Krishna goes, oh yes, those two trees. I know about those two trees. My great devotee, Narada, here he comes again. Narada cursed the two sons of Kuvera to take birth as trees. And Narada wants me to deliver them. Krishna knows this because he's God. So Krishna starts to crawl. And because he's tied up to the grinding mortar, he pulls the grinding mortar as he crawls. And he crawls in between the two trees. The grinding mortar gets stuck and Krishna continues to pull and the trees come crashing down. And when they come crashing down, the two sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, who were stationed as trees for many, many years, they come out and they offer prayers to Krishna. And Krishna blesses them that, yes, you will achieve Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. And then they return to their abode in the heavenly planets. Then there is the story of the picnic. So one day, Krishna and all his friends, the cowherd boys, by this time Krishna is 5 years old. So the mothers pack picnic lunches for all the boys, and everyone has their box with prasad in it. Because during the day, the young cowherd boys take the calves. They not take the cows. They take the calves. They let the calves roam and feed on grass. And while they're doing that, the boys play. Two birds, right? They play and at the same time take care of the calves. So, while they're walking with the calves, the boys start playing. And one boy takes another boy's lunch and gives it to another boy. And then another one takes this one. And so they're taking each other's lunch basket and passing it. Then Krishna says, I think this is a good spot. Let's stop here and have our picnic. At this time, everybody gets their original lunch basket. Everybody, whatever their mother supplied. So Krishna does a miracle. Krishna is sitting in the middle, surrounding him are all the cowherd boys. So here you are all cowherd boys. So imagine we have here Meenakshi. She's Krishna. She's in the middle, surrounded by all. Now, right now, she's looking at me. She's not looking at anyone behind her. But the miracle was that no matter where Krishna is looking, everybody is seeing that Krishna is looking at them. That's the miracle. Everybody is seeing Krishna is looking at me. Even though one Krishna, and even though some of the cowherd boys are behind them, they are seeing Krishna. Now, at some point, the cowherd boys, they come upon this one place and they see this huge, huge serpent. His name was Agasura. Agasura was sent by Kamsa. But the cowherd boys, they saw that it was a serpent, but they thought, oh, this is a mountain cave. Let's go in the mountain cave. But Krishna knows, what's not a mountain cave? It's a demon. But the cowherd boys are thinking, what are we worried about? Krishna will protect us. We got nothing to worry about. So all the cowherd boys enter the cave, which is actually the mouth of the great serpent Aga, Aga Asura. So Krishna is wondering, what do I do now? So they enter the mouth of Agasura and they all die. So then Krishna is thinking, ah. So Krishna enters the mouth of Agasura and he glances at the cowherd boys and brings them back to life. Agasura now closes his mouth because he was waiting for Krishna. This is what he was waiting for. Now I will swallow Krishna. But no. Krishna starts to expand himself. He's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And Agasura is choked. And the spirit soul of Agasura pops out of his head and waits in the sky. Then the mouth opens. Krishna and the cowherd boys come dancing out. And when Krishna comes out, the spirit soul of Agasura enters the body of Krishna, achieves liberation. The picnic continues. The calves are there. They have tied the calves up while they are having their lunch. But all of a sudden, Krishna notices, oh, the calves, they have drifted apart. Krishna says, don't worry. You boys, you continue having the lunch. I'll get the calves. Just see how nice Krishna is. He's God. He could have said to the cowboys, go right now. No. Krishna loves his cowherd friends so much, he goes and saves them. So Krishna searches for the calves, but he can't find them because the calves have been stolen by Lord Brahma. Brahma has stolen the calves and hidden them in a cave. So Krishna can't find them. After some time, Krishna comes back to the picnic site. Now the cowherd boys are missing. Krishna has put them to sleep. Brahma has put them to sleep. Hidden them in the cave. So when Krishna comes back, the calves are gone, the cowherd boys are gone. How can I go home without the calves and boys, the mothers? They're going to be completely devastated. So what does Krishna do? He expands himself. Krishna expands himself to look exactly like each boy and each calf down to the minutest detail. What the boy was wearing, Krishna had it down. After all, what is he? He's God. So in this way, Krishna, his expansions, they are now cowherd boys and calves, go back home. The mothers, the cows, they don't know any different because it looks just like their children, but they're not. They're Krishna. Now, this goes on for 1 year. For 1 year, this is going on. Almost at the end of 1 year, Balaram sees something. One day, the cowherd men are at the top of Govardhan Hill with the cows, and the cowherd boys are at the bottom with the calves. When the cows see their calves, they come running down the mountain like this. Two legs, right? They have four legs, so boom, boom. They come bounding down. The cowherd men are, what's going on here? And they're angry because they can't control the cows. So then, when the cows come down, they start licking the calves. Balaram is looking like, what's going on? Then when the cowherd men see their sons, they start to smell their head. They start to cry. Balaram says, this is Krishna. What's going on here? Something's going on. Krishna, are you doing what I think you're doing? And then Krishna says, yes. For this whole year, I've had to do this. Because Brahma has stolen them and I don't know where they are. So now Balaram understands. Oh, Krishna. So what does this tell us? This tells us that Krishna is the real lovable object. Because the parents and the cows showed more affection for these children and calves than they did their real ones. That teaches us Krishna is your dearmost lover. That's the point. I love my wife very much. She loves me more so. But if she has to choose between me and Krishna, she's going to choose Krishna. Why? Am I right? Because he always says, I love you, but. She even said it today in the car on the way here. I love you, but. That love you, but means, yeah, but you're not Krishna. Because Krishna is your dearmost friend. Yes, I can embrace her, but I cannot get inside. I can get in her head, but I can't get inside. But inside, who's right next to her? Krishna. And Krishna's inside of you. Right? Nobody can get closer to you than Krishna. Remember that. Nobody is closer to you than Krishna. So, Krishna and his expansions, they go back to the scene of the crime. And Brahma returns. And all of a sudden, all the calves, all the cowherd boys turn into Narayan forms. Gigantic Narayan forms. And Brahma's like, whoa. He realizes that he's tried to play a trick on Krishna, but the trick is on him. And all these forms of Krishna and that are cowherd boys, but now they are Narayan forms. They're being worshipped by other Brahmas and Lord Shivas and all kinds of demigods. Oh, they're all offering prayers. So Brahma decides, okay, he gets the original cowherd boys and calves and returns them to Krishna. Then Krishna removes all his expansions and Krishna is standing by a tree. He has a lump of food in his hand and he's nonchalantly resting against the tree. Brahma comes. How many heads does he have? Four. And Brahma's body is golden. Brahma falls down like a stick. Boom. And he's crying. He's crying. And he's rubbing his four heads with his hands, crying. Then he stands up and offers beautiful prayers to Krishna, asking forgiveness for his nonsense. And at the end of his prayers, he goes, although I am Lord Brahma, although I am the creator, although I am knowing everything, if somebody says they know you, I don't know. Because as far as I'm concerned, I know nothing about you, Krishna. You are inconceivable. If anyone says they know you, let them talk like that. As far as I'm concerned, what have I understood? I know nothing. And in my next life, I want to take birth outside of Vrindavan so that when the residents of Vrindavan come, the dust of their feet will fall on my head. That ends that pastime. Everybody chant.